Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series.
My guest today is Dr. Andreas Kuhlmann, executive director and CEO at Sicuity. He has spent his career across the fields of semiconductor design, software development, and cybersecurity. Prior to joining Sicuity, he helped build a market-leading software security business as head of engineering at Coverity, which, of course, was acquired by Synopsys. He also worked at IBM Research and Cadence Design Systems, where he made influential contributions to hardware verification. Andreas also served as an adjunct professor at UC Berkeley's Department of Engineering and Computer Science for 14 years. Welcome to the podcast, Andreas.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you for having me.
So the first question I'd like to ask is, what brought you to semiconductors? Do you have an interesting story you can share?
I certainly have a story, Daniel. If it's interesting, we'll see. I grew up actually in former East Germany. So in the 80s, I was a student of microelectronics and, you know, just electrical engineering. And in one of the companies where I was an intern, they reversed engineers chips from the West, copied them and manufactured them. So one of my first assignments was essentially, you know, take some of these circuitries, you know, use the equivalent of spice and try to figure out what they did. So that was my first job. It really got me interested into chip design, digital design, and then, you know, generally semiconductors.
Oh, that's a great story. And what brought you to Sicuity?
All right. Yeah, as you mentioned before, I was at Synopsys first, you know, through the Coverity acquisition, and then running the software integrity business till 2020. And then I left Synopsys, and there was this little startup company called Tortuga Logic, now Sicuity, and that was really doing security in semiconductors. And that kind of interested me because I have a strong semiconductor background, but now it's also quite some experience in security. So I thought that seems to be really a next frontier of security. So what we do at Sicuity is we help organizations in the pre-silicon design process to ensure that that the chips are actually secure, that the, you know, elements that are using functionality for security, that they're securely implemented, and, you know, you don't have any leakage, you don't have any confidentiality or integrity problems. So that interested me and was ahead of its time. And I've always felt I've seen that movie before when I started in software security, you know, 10, 15 years ago, where, you know, in the beginning, everybody just ignored it. And then over time, it became, you know, a very critical element of development.
For sure. Why is semiconductor security assurance rapidly becoming a strategic imperative rather than, you know, a late stage checklist item?
Yeah, as I mentioned, I mean, I worked for a long time in software security, and everybody just assumed the chips are secure, right? We're running it on whatever, you know, microprocessor, on whatever platform. And nobody really thought about, you know, that chips could actually be directly attacked on the hardware level. That has dramatically changed in 2018 with the discovery of Spectre Meltdown, where it became clear that chips not only can be attacked, but they can be attacked remotely just the same way software is being attacked. So think about it. Suddenly the attack surface for any electronic system has vastly broadened. And the problem with chips is also you cannot just quickly patch it. I mean, if you're lucky, you can patch the firmware, but very often you have to either exchange the chips or you have to disable some functionality. So since 2018, there has been a dramatic increase of not only, you know, adding functionality for security onto chips, but also ensuring that the functionality is actually indeed secure, meaning that nobody can hack the chips themselves. And you have also seen over the last year, same movie we have seen in the software world. There's increased number of regulations, standards. There's in the automotive industry, the ISO 21434 standard that requires that chips are being certified for cybersecurity. So this movie is just repeating from 15 years ago, the software world. It's just going much faster.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit more. So what are some of the systemic barriers you've observed that prevent organizations to get started with security verification? And can you maybe share some best practices to overcome these?
Yeah, right. And I think it's very similar what we have seen in the software world 15 years ago. The first barrier is organizationally, right? There's not often a clear ownership of security in an organization identified. You know, you have it distributed. There may be, you know, a product security team. There may be, you know, a CISO from the software world having some responsibility on the hardware. Some responsibility leaks in the design team, some responsibility in the DV teams. But it's really that it's not clear, you know, where is driving it, who has a budget, who has the responsibility. That's number one. I think number two, what we see over and over again is resources. I mean, the people that are needed for ensuring the chips are indeed, you know, securely implemented, you know, and the verification side on the specification side, these people are in high demand. And you know, I mean, chip designs right now, people are cranking out tapeouts, you know, at a frequency unseen before. So everybody is oversubscribed. So finding the resources is the second problem. And the third one I would really see is setting the company on the roadmap on the for a security journey, meaning get going small. Don't boil the ocean right away. You know, get going small and move forward. So going to some of the best practices is one of them is what I just said. Start small, but put some kind of virtual organization in place. What I've seen being very successful, if you have security champions, you know, in the different design groups, and you know, having some virtual organization where you meet regularly, you exchange ideas, you exchange best practices, and start driving really a broader effort in the company. But the second one, what's really important is executive support. I mean, the executive team has to be supporting it, has to fund it, and has to make sure that this becomes a priority.
Right. You know, there's been a lot of effort to shift left functional verification, you know, getting it early into the chip design process to be more proactive and more efficient. When is the right time to start with security verification?
Yeah, very good question, Daniel, right? We have seen the whole movie in functional verification, right? We talked for a long time, shift left, you know, start verifying functionality as early as possible. The story is exactly the same in security. The earlier you start, the earlier you can find, you know, potential vulnerabilities, the lower the cost, the higher the probability that you actually fix them. I mean, it may sound very funny, but yeah, I have seen companies when they discover a vulnerability very late, they let it slip. Don't talk about it anyway, right? just get going. We may fix it in the firmware later and so on. So the earlier, the better is just the same paradigm, you know, as we have seen in the functional verification world.
Right. Can you comment on the role of common weakness enumerations or CWE to help drive systemic hardware security assurance?
Yeah, the CWE said that's a very interesting one, the common weakness enumeration. That's actually a community effort supported by MITRE and the US government. And it was founded in 2006, and it has really for a long time kind of a little bit of a shadow existence. But then in the software world, 2010, 2011, it really took off and became a main driver to articulate categories of software weaknesses that are potential issues for security. It became really quickly a standard around which you know, customers and developers can talk about, the ecosystem can talk about. You can report, you know, there's a formal report, which CWEs have you covered in your verification flow and so on. The CWEs were extended to hardware in 2020, and we have now more than 100 CWEs in the hardware world, and I see exactly the same success here. It's a nomenclature. It's a way to talk about what matters on a particular chip design. It's a way to talk about what matters to the customers. And it's a checkbox. It's a very coarse, but it's a coverage metric, you know, how you can say, hey, did you check this? Did you check this CWE? And so on and so on.
So meaningful metrics are key to successfully manage semiconductor designs. Are there metrics for security verification, and how are they applied in practice?
Yeah, I mean, you're right on, Daniel. I mean, metrics are critical for any for any organization that wants to manage success, right? Metrics are key. And that's the same in security, right? So when you look at chip designs and you want to kind of measure how much have I done in terms of security coverage, it really starts with the methodology to look at, okay, first of all, have I looked at all the secure assets? Secure assets, think about it, you know, it's an element on the chip. It's a data item, a register, a memory range that carries some secret information. It could be an encryption key, you know, could be some personal data and so on. Have you enumerated all of them? And have you done for each of them a threat model? Meaning, what do you worry about? Is that a worry that, you know, a certain asset leaves the chip? Is that a worry about that someone from outside can overwrite that asset and, you know, change the behavior of the chip? So first of all, really systematically going through your threat model, going through your assets, going through, you know, what matters to you. And then apply, you know, security verification with the various technologies that are available, you know, formal verification technology. Via security, we have technology that's called Radix, that is based on information flow. And, you know, there are the alternatives to that. Now, use this technology and have metrics in these technologies. What we have in Radix, we actually have a coverage metric that tells you how hard have you tried to break, essentially, you know, like a secure element out of the chip. How hard have you tried to bang against the wall in a way, you know, what we call the protection boundary, to try to get a secure encryption key, for example, out of the chip. So we have a very crisp coverage metric that's very much aligned with what we do with in functional verification.
Great. A final question. Looking forward, what shifts do you foresee in the structure of security programs or methodologies over the next, say, 3 to 5 years?
Well, I think, Daniel, you and I, we have been in the industry for a long time, right? And we had the whole history of, you know, of sign-offs before manufacturing, right? And every time, you know, there was a new issue, you know, whether it's timing sign-off, power sign-off, you know, signal integrity sign-off and so on, you know, there was a new problem in chip design. You know, that problem was identified, technology was delivered and developed to handle it. And then 3 to 4 years later, right, I mean, everybody adopted that and you get to a sign-off methodology. I expect exactly the same here. I expect in 4 to 5 years, every chip will have to go through security, the sign-off, if there are security concerns on the chip. That's certainly not the case for very simple chips and so on. But the majority of the chips right now has some security functionality on the chip, and it will have to be shown that they're indeed securely implemented.
Yeah, I agree completely. Security is critical. So great conversation, Andreas. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to following the success of Security.
Thank you, Daniel, and thank you for having me.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.